Well, hot off the press, Brenda just shared with me, and we can rejoice that they reduced Jerry's seizure medication last night or yesterday, and today he is responding to commands. Open your mouth, close your mouth, do this, do that, which is definitely something we give God all the glory for. So let's be praising him, and even as we gather this morning, and I know she's going to go up there, and I know that if you have a chance, it'd be great to go there and rejoice with her and see him. Well, let's begin our day by doing that very thing and thanking our Father. Indeed, Father, we rejoice that you are a God who not only hears prayer but answers. And Father, thank you for this wonderful news, this glorious news that our brother is responding to these commands. Father, continue to heal him. Do what seems impossible to doctors, to nurses, and even ourselves at times. Father, be pleased to raise him up. Lord, thank you for preserving him. Thank you for this great advancement, for the encouragement to Brenda and family and to us. Father, thank you. You are a gracious and mighty God who does all things according to your own will. Father, be with us now as we direct our thoughts to these proverbs and make them profitable. May you be pleased to apply them to our hearts to make us live better for you, to make us know you better, to know what you require, and to, by your grace, to do it. Father, be with our brothers and sisters who are driving now. Give them safety, give them blessing, and may you be with your people. May you continue to grow us and use us for your glory in this town and in this world, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, if I'm distracted, you'll know why, because my mind is on good things, but to introduce our topic today, I'll ask this question: why do you tell the truth? Why do you tell the truth? Now, I asked my daughter, Chloe, this question last night, and she says, because if you don't, you'll probably get caught and get in trouble. And I said, well, that's true, but what is a better reason to tell the truth? And she said, because God tells us to, and that's a good answer as well. But I propose that we go a further step. Why do we tell the truth? It's because, not only because he tells us to do it, but because it pleases him. Because it pleases our Father. For those who deal faithfully are his delight, Proverbs 12:22. For those who deal faithfully are his delight. A great motive to obey God, not only for fear of punishment or being caught or disobeying him, but because we want to make him happy. Because we want to please our Father. This ought to be our highest motive as we go through life and seek to obey God. Our highest motive is to please him. Now, this is the third installment in our study that I've called Honesty versus Dishonesty. And I don't usually have separate titles, but if I did have one today, it would be Buying and Selling God's Way. Buying and Selling God's Way. We're going to consider honesty in the workplace or the marketplace, or how should a Christian do commerce? And we're all involved in buying, and some of us in selling. How should we do commerce? And our first proverb, and the one we're going to spend most of our time on today, is Proverbs 11, verse 1. It's an easy one to remember. 1, 1, 1. Proverbs 11, 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, if you remember John's study on, he mentioned a few ways to interpret or understand Proverbs. This has been called antithetic parallelism in the strict term, but you could just call it parallel opposites, because there's two opposites here. On the one hand, God hates a false balance, but on the other, he delights in a just one, and this is the form of many Proverbs. Antithetic parallelism, if you're interested. Now, some think this was a portable scale, whatever size it was at least a false scale, a false balance, which was rigged. It was rigged to gain favor for the owner. They had something in it to make it more profitable for the seller or the buyer of their scale, and it was a tricky scale. It was a deceptive scale. It was false. Now, this word false, we've seen it before. It's the Hebrew word mirma. I'm not sure of the pronunciation, but it's M-I-R-M-A-H, mirma, which means deceptive. deceitful, dishonest, or even more strongly, treacherous. There's four words that are translated false, four Hebrew words in the Proverbs, and this is one of them. Now, I don't know about you, but in the New American Standard Bible, they have a false, and the word false is capitalized. Now, this caught my notice. I don't know if any of you use the New American Standard, but many of us do. And in my translation, they capitalize the F in false. And I said, why is this? And I looked at a few other translations, and the only one that came close was the Amplified Bible, which had a false in all capital letters. And you'll notice that sometimes in the print, you know, the first word of your chapter will be capitalized, but why would they capitalize the first letter of the second word, false? And I'll propose an idea that I believe that the translator did this to show us the intensity of the thought, to throw emphasis on the falseness. It's like, maybe you've seen, I'm not recommending it necessarily, but the Music Man in that very funny song where you got trouble right here in River City with a capital T, and that spells trouble. Trouble. Well, here it's false with a capital F. If there's an emphasis that this is false, a false balance. Now, this truth is rooted back in the Pentateuch, and I was thinking, again, how little we know the Pentateuch, most of us, and I'll be the first to admit, I know the Pentateuch very little, and more pointedly, how many of us have memorized verses? And last week, I think we had a Deuteronomy verse mentioned that someone had memorized, but we probably have not memorized two passages we're going to read. Turn back to give the backdrop to Leviticus chapter 19. And if someone said, what are you memorizing with your kids or yourself? It probably would not be Leviticus 19, verse 35 and 36. Nonetheless, it gives the foundation of where Solomon got this truth, or this truth was based upon, back in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. God is speaking all of these sundry laws, these various laws that He gave. And verse 35, you shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement, or weight, or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, which is the largest dry measure they had, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt. You shall observe all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. I am the Lord. Then over to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 16. Again, the foundation or the backdrop of this proverb. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13 through 16. You shall have in your bag, you shall not have in your bag, differing weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For everyone who does these things, everyone who acts unjustly, is an abomination to the Lord. So God, by the hand or the mouth of Moses, gave those laws, and Solomon brings them up back in our proverb 11:1 and several others that we'll look at in the future. So a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Now, obviously, there were false balances that God forbade back in 3,000 years ago. But is there any application for us today? I was hoping if I had a balance, I could have brought one in here. You kids know what a balance is, or scales. You've seen them. If I had one up here, I could show you. You can picture it. But how does that... We don't carry those scales around. Does anyone have a scale in their pocket? Probably not. Maybe you have one at home for whatever purposes. We do have scales that we weigh ourselves on. We weigh food. We'll see a few other examples. But it's easy for us to overlook a verse like this, isn't it true? How many of us have memorized Proverbs 11:1? Probably none of us. But here's an interesting story about a man that did memorize it. And it's one of my commentators that I love, William Arnott. He was a Scotsman. in the 1800s, and he was growing up in Perth, Scotland. And he said that this was the proverb that he knew. He knew it all his life. It was Proverbs 11:1. It was very familiar to him. Why? Because when he went to the market, this verse was over one of the marketplaces. You know, in old towns you had maybe the fish market or this market. Over this one fish market, or this one market, Proverbs 11:1. Because God had worked revival in the Scots, and they had put this verse over their market. Can you imagine if you went to Safeway and over the door was Proverbs 11:1? That would be remarkable. So now let's keep trying to bring this verse, let's tow it into ourselves and see what can we learn. As William Arnott, he loved that verse and he saw the practical application. They probably had scales, and we're going to consider a few of ours. Now, also as an aside, consider the blessings of our uniform weights and measures. There's actually international standards governing them. You know that I'm in logistics, and we consider those weights and measures all the time. They're used internationally. Consider trying to import a container of goods through the U.S. Customs and Border Protection without having the weight recorded, especially if your duties are based on weight. You'd be in big trouble. You could get fined. You could get your goods seized if you don't have an accurate weight. Now, these are big pictures, but take it down another level. When you go to Safeway or Albertsons, and when you go to the fruits and vegetable section of your grocery store, how important are weights then? If you're going to buy fruits or vegetables, often you have to put them on the scale, right? There's that round scale with the numbers up top. How important is the weight then? Or if you go over to the butcher block and you're going to buy some filet mignon, I hope somebody gets that occasionally, and you see that it's, I don't know, $19 a pound, I don't know what it costs, and that scale is not accurate. Imagine when that bill comes out, if it's double, or maybe if it's half, you might be glad, but you'd honestly say that's wrong. But weights and measures are really in our everyday life, and we see them at the grocery store, at the butcher block, the price per pound, we need to weigh things. Imagine that disgust when you get home and you bought a quart of orange juice and you open it up and inside you look down and it's half full. You'd be disgusted. You'd be angry. You might go back to the store and say, "Hey, I bought this orange juice. It was a quart, but there's a half a quart." We depend, we assume, and I ask myself, who checks these scales? Does anyone know? Are they accurate? When you go to the cash register and they have right there that scale and they sit your grapes on it and the price is $16 and you're shocked, how do we know that scale is right? God says that a false balance is an abomination. It's an abomination. Even the Egyptians had a proverb that was in the same time as Solomon wrote, "Make not for thyself a bushel measure of two capacities." Don't have two different weights, the actual bushel weight and the one where I'm going to make money. We all can see that nobody wants to get ripped off. This is a good application, or we have an application of doing to others as you would have them doing to you. We don't want to get ripped off. We want to get what we pay for, a pound of this or a bushel of that. Do you have employees? Some of you have employees. Some of you have people you give their review. You give them their raise. Maybe you check their timesheets. Do they work 40 hours? Do you pay them for 40 hours? If you made an agreement, do you pay them honestly what the balance should be? A crooked businessman, he would use a false balance. He would twist things to his advantage. Or consider, as we saw in the news recently, Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. America sends $1 billion and he gives 20 to his people and keeps the rest in his pocket and his family. That was not a just balance, obviously, an obvious case. But maybe you're the employee and you're punching the time clock and you're knowing that if you get 15 minutes, you get overtime. And you know that it's at 7 or 8 minutes, the overtime kicks in, and maybe you're there at 6 minutes. No, just I'm going to wait till I get the overtime. I'm going to wait 2 more minutes. That would be an example of a false balance. That wouldn't be just. That would be lying. That would be an abomination. We're called to make sure that our balance, in whatever area it is, there's many applications we've mentioned. You're filing your taxes. Let the balance be just. Let it be honest. Let's not have the true weight, but over here is the one that's to our advantage. Because there are no small sins. Fudging the numbers, this is an abomination. The application of this verse, when we hear that phrase, we're going to fudge the numbers a little bit to our advantage. That's an abomination. Remember that word abomination means great hatred. It means intense disgust. God hates those who fudge numbers, who cheat, who put a little bit more on this side. Trying to argue with the cashier to get more, someone may put their vegetables or their fruit on the scale, and the person argues they're trying to get a lower price for their goods when they actually put a little bit more on the scale. God despises it. One calls it abomination is God's moral outrage when the scales are tipped to the advantage of the buyer or seller. Now, part B of this verse, but a just weight is his delight. Just is a legal word. This scale or these weights, if they were brought to a court, it would stand up as evidence. It would stand up as valid. They are just. When examined by the prosecution, they would find out that they're calibrated accurately. If they pulled out the scale at Safeway and they brought it to the Pierce County Court and they got out all their calibration tools, they would say a pound is a pound. An ounce is an ounce. That just weight is God's delight. Accuracy. Accuracy in all we do is God's delight. Now, these weights, listen to this. This is interesting. Ancient weights were stones carved in shapes of turtles, ducks, or lions, which made them easy to recognize. Oh, there's the turtle that weighs, a pound. They were often inscribed with the weight and the standard they followed. Weights were carried in a pouch or a wallet. Maybe they were thin. But a deceitful trader carried differing weights. He'd have two turtles, the one that was honest and the one that was dishonest. A deceitful trader would have differing ones. We're going to see that in the next verse we look at, 16:11. But an honest seller, if we are honest before God, we have one weight. Our 5-pound weight is 5 pounds. Not anything less, not anything more. When we put our 15 pounds of potatoes on the scale, they equal 15 pounds. And that is God's delight. He wants, again, 100% honesty. Because for us, it delights our God. It delights Him to be honest, to be accurate. And may God make us accurate when we go to the grocery store. If they put something on there and it's less, and it comes in our favor, we ought to say, I'm sorry, that's wrong. I should be paying you double. We ought to be that type of people to have 100% honesty because our Father delights in it. He delights when we pull out an extra $10 to pay what is due. But He abominates when we, oh, that's nice, I'm just going to keep that extra 10 in my pocket. That's an abomination. And that's why a verse like this is important today, even though, again, we don't carry around scales in our pockets. A just weight is his delight. Again, Arnott comments, the only man in merchandise who is happy or safe is the man who, while trying to please his customer over the counter, tries to please his God. You're really only going to be truly happy as a seller if you are looking up first. You're looking up to please your God and delight Him in being honest. Then you're going to treat your customers perfectly well if you're serving God 100%. God detests the false selling, or He delights in it. There's no middle group. He requires 100% honesty. If it's 99.9999999%, He hates it. And that challenges us to make sure that when we deal with people buying or selling, we use 100% honesty. That's His requirement. A just weight is His delight. Any comments before we move on to the next verse? Okay. Well, our next one is over in Proverbs 16, and it's very related. But this one actually falls in a context. So we're going to read Proverbs 16, 9 through 15. Our verse is 11, but there is some context here. Verse 9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death. Remember what we read about Darius? But a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. Now, most Proverbs do not have a context in the section they fall in, but this one, I believe, does. It falls in these verses about God's sovereignty and kings. And I believe our verse is related to kings because God owns and supports just balances and scales, which are normally where? In the hands of governments and kings. Who regulates the weights and measures? The local government, the local trade guild. It may be a small form of government, but the government typically, historically, controls the balances and scales. And so we see that as God instituted government, so he institutes and instituted weights and measures. And again, we don't normally think about this. We study Romans 14, of course, where it says government, it is a minister of God for good. It is a minister of God for good. And we usually apply that to the sword, and that's the thrust of that passage. But the government is also for good because they, when they are good governments, have true weights and measures. And if you study history, you'll find that in other countries around the world, when new kings come in and when they standardize things, and one of the things they standardize are weights and measures, and they can have lawful trade between countries and people, or in our country, between states. Not only did God institute government, but he instituted just balances and scales. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. In the context, our kings holding it up and forcing it. And again, in our country, Customs and Border Protection, you know that the number one revenue to our government, next to the IRS, are the duties on wearing apparel. The number one income in our country to bring in money after taxes are the duties on wearing apparel. And how do they do that? Weights and measures are fundamentally how Customs and Border Protection makes money. And paying duties, of course, there's other factors, but weights and measures are significant. And as at Weyerhaeuser, we export wood pulp, and it's so many tons can go in a container, and the government needs to know about that. And they regulate, and they do that on imports and exports. So when it's done justly, as God requires, just balance and scales belong to the Lord. He instituted them. All the weights of the bag are his concern. He established, again, the government standardizing of weights and measures for good, to ensure that things are done right. Consider, we mentioned before, the truck scales. If you're going through Federal Way and you're going south and you see on the right truck scale, they're all over America. Imagine if there were no truck scales. I can tell you what will happen. It's very dangerous. If you overload a truck or you load it in an imbalanced fashion, you go around the corner, you go on an off-ramp, that truck can fall on the ground or on somebody. Also, it will destroy the roads quite often. And it's a safety issue, as Jeff can attest to. This is the truth. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to us that... Do you ever go to a country where they have no rules about loading? When I was in Korea in the late 80s, they would pile trucks, a little tiny truck, they would pile it 20 feet high with stuff. If you're driving next to that guy and it's loaded with concrete, bricks, are you going to be happy about that? No. So it's a good thing. It may annoy us that the government controls too much sometimes, but generally, and creatively I'll say, God created government and scales and balances for good. It's a good thing to have a standard weight and measure. I trust that's plain. Now, before we go on, this verse, 16:11, you'll notice that it's in a different form than 11:1. Truth can be looked at from several vantage points, throwing emphasis in different directions. 11:1 said, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Here, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. Sometimes we express truth negatively. God hates a false balance. Sometimes we express truth positively. God, we could say, loves a just balance and scales. Truth can be expressed in different ways, and I think that can help us as we speak to people, as we understand truth. It can be expressed in various ways, and these two verses show that plainly. Now, if we had a lesson here, we don't usually have lessons in our study like we do in the preaching time, but we could learn that true religion not only governs what we do in worship, but what we do in work. Of course, this is true. God's word tells us how we ought to worship Him. We shouldn't be idolaters. We should come humbly. We should come sincerely. But it also tells me when I get up tomorrow morning and go to Weyerhaeuser and I do a dealing with a company, I have to use just measures. I have to use just scales. I have to be honest. This is what's been called the Protestant work ethic, or the great Reformation or Puritan idea that there's no secular or sacred distinction. That what I do at work, the person at Safeway that's weighing the grapes on the scale, that is before God. I know we believe this already. All that we do is before the face of God. When we're putting things on the scale, on the balance, it's before God. When we're paying our bills and doing that, it is before Him. And the Proverbs, again, remember Kidner's great idea that Proverbs are godliness in work clothes. This is practical. If you're going to sell your fish to the guy, you want a scale that's accurate. Or if I'm going to buy some from you, I want to make sure that I get 20 pounds and not 18. There's no secular sacred distinction. Even the weights at Safeway are under the authority of God. Sometimes it's easy to think that, oh, we're gathering with the church on Sunday and we're going to sing hymns or we're going to worship God. We're going to listen to His Word taught and preached. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be alert. I'm going to be focused on serving Him. But tomorrow night when we go over to Costco and pick up our groceries, I'm not going to be that concerned about accuracy. No. We must have the same diligence to obey God on Sunday at worship as we do on Monday going to Costco. There's no distinction. We are called to honor God because all of this is His. Of course, all the world is His, but this in particular. Arnott again said, God claims to be in the merchandise, in the market, and to have His Word circling through all its secret channels. In the Children's Catechism, it says, can you see God? No, but He always sees me. He always sees me. When I go to the grocery store and I'm buying something, or maybe you're selling something, God sees whether or not I'm being honest or whether I'm being deceptive, whether I'm getting a little extra change in my pocket by being deceptive. He's watching even the scales in your buying and selling. Now, how important is this? We'll turn over, we'll conclude with this, and if you have any questions, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This isn't just a New Testament or an Old Testament idea, of course. It's a truth that transcends because it's based upon the law of God and how He created the world. 1 Corinthians 7, we'll read 9 through 11. Paul here is dealing with those who defraud one another in church. Not only in the world, but God's people defrauding one another. Having unjust balances, not being fair. And he ends this teaching with a warning and then a reminder of whose they are. Let's read 1 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Verse 1 of this chapter talks about taking your brother or sister to court, and he talks about defrauding and cheating one another, wronging. Verse 7 even says, why not rather be defrauded? He's talking about fraudulent activity, cheating the people of God. And he ends with this warning, and he throws fraud into this great list of all these wicked acts. And it's such a strong warning. He's not saying that believers are going to go there, but he's saying if you live like this, this is the warning. And then he concludes, but were some of you, and then he says, you're now in Christ. You were justified in the name. You're in Christ, so don't defraud one another. Don't live like this. Don't take your brother to court. Work it out. So we're warned, and the Proverbs, the New Testament, call us again to 100% honesty. How much more with the people of God? If you're selling your car to your brother or sister here at church, again, if it's a lemon, tell them, this thing's a piece of junk. I feel bad that you're even buying it. In any dealings, we must be 100% honest. That's the standard that God has for us. And if we want to delight Him, if we want to make Him smile, if we want to please our Heavenly Father, we must be like Him, and our 5-pound weight must be 5 pounds. What comments or questions do you guys have? Yes, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Good examples. And we really want, you reminded me, that we basically want God's stamp of approval on our invoices, on our payments. And now we may work with vendors or customers who say, you have even an unwritten agreement or written that, things that are $10 or less, we're not going to worry about them. There's obviously cases that you work out and you accept in a business manner a margin of error, and that's acceptable. Even U.S. Customs has that type of discernment where they allow a margin of error, and it's an approved margin. But if it's deceptive, of course we make mistakes and we ought to fix them. But we want God's stamp of approval as we're doing business. We want our 5-pound weight to be 5 pounds. And that's how we'll get His blessing. And absolutely, good example. Anything else? Yes. Indeed, and we looked at the verse where Jesus says, out of the heart proceed these things. And it's a heart issue of deception, of greed, of coveting, of wanting others' money. And I want to add that we're not saying here that it's wrong to be successful. As long as our success is based on honest and just dealings. It's not a sin to be successful, to make money. And that needs to be said. And we've looked at some of those studies about diligence and God's reward. But it's no sin to be successful as long as it is just. The scale is just. Yes, brother. Right, and I think next week we're going to mention that there is a reference to the temple weights, but there's also a reference in Samuel to the king's weights, and there are different weights that are different because they're based on different things around the world. They don't have to be unjust because they don't look exactly the same. But yes, in the temple there was a temple weight, and we're going to look at some of those examples, but absolutely, these are God's weights. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. You know, 4 pounds plus 4 pounds is 8 pounds. And if we say otherwise, we are sinning against God. Yes. Anything else? Okay. Well, let's thank God and close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you that you have set up the world with government. And though it's not what we want most of the time, we thank you nonetheless that it's more than we deserve. And you are kind to give in many places in the world and much of history, just weights and measures. And Father, may you help us to examine ourselves, to see if we're not being fully honest in many areas. May you apply the truth, Father, to each heart here, to little children who may not have been honest with their mom and dad, to the oldest among us, Lord, if we have not been faithful in dealing with customers, with vendors, in whatever way it is, Father, may you convict us and cleanse us in Christ, and may we become what we are in Christ, holy. As Paul exhorted the Corinthians, that they wouldn't defraud one another, that they would consider those who live a life of fraud will end up in hell, but such were some of us, but you have rescued us, you have changed us, and may we recommit our lives 24 hours a day, our work, our buying and selling to you, to honor you, Father, that we would delight you, that we would please you, and that we would know your smile. We thank you for this truth in Jesus' name. Amen.